Morning, Sean. How are you doing?
Good, Mitch. Good morning. Good to hear your introduction as well. It's interesting as you go over the bridge and you look over towards the right there if you're heading north and you see that building. And when I did that as a child, it's the reason why I got into architecture. It does have a powerful effect on people.
Yeah, well, that's interesting because it is quite an interesting looking building. Some say it's ugly or not that beautiful. What do you? What about it got you into architecture? And what is it about it that fascinates architects, I guess?
I guess all the reasons why the Heritage Council have listed it for or recommended for listing on the Heritage Register is it's an exemplary piece of brutalist architecture. So it has all those characteristics that make it a really fine example of what brutalism is. So it has that massive scale, it has that raw concrete, it has that what appears this wonderful complete order. So for me, as I went over the bridge, I could see these wonderful cubes that sort of define these pods for living, but had these wonderful, clear, expressive windows on the outside. So you could look in there and you could imagine yourself living there, and that was a wonderful place to be.
Some would say, you know, it could be replaced by something prettier, more profitable, or even bigger. What would you say to that?
When it comes to aesthetics and the word inverted commas pretty, what is pretty to one person is not to another. So if you go down the path of saying, I want a prettier building, you might run the risk of, you know, losing the pretty for someone else, but gaining the ugly for that person. So that's a really subjective thing. I think the building, it's got to be greater than just the pure aesthetics. Heritage listings can't be frivolous things. They can't just be done ad hoc. It has to be a seriously and deeply considered process, an academic process to arrive at not just its cost, but the value. What does it mean to the people of Sydney? So when I talk about value, I'm talking, what are the social implications of keeping or losing this building? What are the cultural ones? And even one of the environmental ones. Here's a building that stood for 40 years that is fit for purpose. Sure, it's getting a little bit tired and could do with a bit of a spruce up on the interior, but here is a building that is fundamentally fine to operators' housing. To demolish that now, we lose 40 years of embodied energy. It's probably just now reclaiming the constructional energy put into that building. So as it goes on in life, all it's really got to do is manage its operational energy. And I think that's a really good environmental outcome.
You talked about value in terms of a social aspect. And there, it has been a social housing building for as long as it stood there. And there has been a movement of residents away from the building. So how long does Sirius and the remaining residents have? How long does this sort of process of being listed or being looked at being listed sort of take?
Well, as with most things, they take longer than you'd probably like them, particularly when it's on your side of that argument. What I would say about Sirius and its listing and the people's time there, clearly there's been a will for a while to move people away from Sirius and the Millers Point area. The government has recently released a social housing policy. The Minister Hazzard has. Which is a good policy and has lots of merit to it. And we need a whole lot more housing for those that need it. And there's another aspect of all of that, which is called key worker accommodation or what is loosely termed as affordable housing, not to be confused with housing that's affordable. The thing about that key worker accommodation is that essentially about 30% of your population loosely falls into that affordable housing category. So your key workers. So if you work in Sydney in the CBD and you need people to work in your hotels or in your cafes or your restaurants or teach your children or police your streets, those people largely fall in this key worker accommodation. So what you don't want them is driving 2 or 3 hours of a morning from the west or the southwest or the northwest to drive into the city to work an 8-hour day to then do that same commute back. What you want is people locally sourced. And when you have a building like Sirius that is fit for purpose and can readily plug into a government's current social housing policy and put people close to where they need to work, I think you have to look at that and say, well, this is a win-win for not only the people of Sydney in keeping a significant piece of heritage architecture, but also it's right for the purpose of bringing social and affordable housing for the people of Sydney.
Well, interesting to talk to you, Sean. Thanks so much for joining us on 2SER this morning.
No worries. Thanks, Mitch.
That is Sean Carter. He is chairman of the Save Our Sirius Foundation and New South Wales president of the Australian Institute of Architects, talking to us about the Sirius building. You might know it as the One-Way Jesus building. And it is quite a beautiful sight driving across the Harbour Bridge, in my personal opinion. And it would be interesting to see what happens if it was to disappear. But some pretty good reasons there given by Sean about why it should stick around, not just because of the interesting architecture.